Amen. God is good. And all the time. All right. So we realized the form for the 7-hour prayer wasn't working. All right. So it will be fixed. All right. I already texted the person that will fix it. Right. So hopefully, can we try to fix it before the end of the service so we can display it again and people can do it? All right. Apologies for that. We thank God. Amen. Over the weekend, we had some sessions with the CCC pastors. One of the statements that was made by Bishop Matera, he was actually quoting Leonard Ravenhill. He said, Sunday services shows, in a church, the Sunday services shows how popular the pastor and the worship team is. And the prayer meeting shows how popular God is in a church. All right? So we want to show that God is popular in Agape. Amen. All right? So I want everybody to participate in these 7 hours of prayer. All right? Just take 1 hour, hundreds of us. So we want to have 7 hours of continuous prayer as a church. It's a special initiative that God laid in the heart of our push army, the prayer ministry. Their task, not just to pray, but to build a culture of prayer in Agape House of Worship. Jesus said, my house shall be called, what? House of prayer. All right, so it's important for all of us to participate in these 7 hours of prayer. Some of us will be doing multiple hours, amen? But at least do 1 hour. Jesus said, can't you wait for me for 1 hour? 7 hours, 1 hour is the maximum that he expects from, is the minimum rather, that he expects from every one of us. All right, so let's do it. If you can do 7, let's do it. If you can do 2, let's do it. If you can do 3, let's do it. Let's just make sure we raise an altar of prayer in Agape House of Worship. Praise Jesus. Hallelujah. All right, and the retreat, obviously we will be telling you more and more about the retreat. I believe by God's grace, it will be a wonderful time, a powerful time, an exciting time in the presence of the Lord. Amen. How many of us are ready for the word today? Amen. You're ready? Amen. If you're ready, I want you to say, Lord, I'm ready. I'm ready for your word. Speak to me. Personalize your word to me. Let it bless me. My heart is open. My heart is receptive. And I'm ready to do what you say. Holy Spirit, open my eyes of understanding. Cause me to understand. And cause me to receive. In Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Last week, we started a message that I couldn't complete. So when you can't complete a message, it automatically becomes a series. Amen. Some series are planned. Some series just happen. So this is one of those series that just happen. Amen. I just felt God want us to really spend a little more time on this subject because I think, you know, I just sense many of us need to hear this because God has so much to say. You know, when God repeats himself, it is because it is very important. God is not talkative. And when he repeats something over and over again, it is because it is very important. So I'm going to take us back to the scripture that we started with last week, Philippians chapter 3. Verses 13 and 14. Philippians chapter 3, verses 13 and 14. This is the famous Apostle Paul, considered the best Christian that ever lived, the best evangelist, apostle, wrote almost half of the New Testament. This is his personal testimony about his life. This is what we can call is philosophy of living. In Philippians chapter 3, verse 13, he said, brethren, brethren is the old word for brothers and sisters. Amen. All right. I do not count myself to have apprehended. Apprehended means to have laid hold. All right. When they are trying to catch a criminal, right? When they catch them, they said he's being apprehended. Amen. All right. So he said, I do not count myself to have laid hold or apprehended. But one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press towards the goal of the prize of the upward call of God in Christ. I'm going to read it also in the New Living Translation. I personally read the New King James Version, so that's why I always start from it. But once in a while, obviously, I read other translations just to have better understanding. I'm going to read this in the New Living Translation. No, dear brothers and sisters, I have not achieved it. All right? Obviously, don't forget that this is in context. It's talking about, you know, fulfilling his goal, his destiny in life. Amen. He said, I have not achieved it, but I focus on this one thing, forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead. I press on to reach the end of the race and receive the heavenly prize for which God, through Christ Jesus, is calling us. Every one of us, God has called us to a purpose and to a destiny in our lives. Amen. Now, even though we have history that are not necessarily great, man, all of us have negative experiences, histories, things in our past. We need to believe firmly that our destiny is greater than our history. Amen. And I want you to listen, your destiny is greater than your history. And that's what he's trying to say here. So we need to forget the past. So last week we focused on our past and we concluded that our past has a way of limiting our future for many of us. For many of us, the greatest challenge we have in moving forward in God, in moving forward in embracing our destiny and purpose is because of what has happened in our past. Now, what has happened in our past is complicated by our old sin nature. All right? If all is well, if our spiritual composition works very well, our past is meant to be a springboard for our future. Our past should propel us for the future. And for many people, it is like that. They use their past successes, past failure, past challenges, past trauma as a motivation to move forward. But unfortunately, for many people, it's not like that. In fact, for most people, it is not always like that. For some, their past is like a ghost haunting them, right? You feel like you are being chased by memories of your past, right? Even emotions, you know, you feel like you are being chased. Some of us live constantly with regret. It just looks like you feel like, wow, if that didn't happen, you know, maybe I wouldn't be here. You know, I've met people. I once counseled a lady that just everything, she would just always go back to her past, the mistakes she made. You know, she was having trouble. I remember being counseling her because her kids were not acting right. And in the midst of the conversation, she just said, I just think God is punishing me for all the bad things I've done in the past. It took many, many weeks or months to convince her God doesn't operate that way. Amen. But that's the enemy using our past to haunt us. She just feels haunted. You know, you know, she feels the past is like a ghost that is chasing you. And, you know, that's unfortunately, that's how some people relate with their past. Some people, their past is like a chain, all right, that is always pulling them. It's like they live in a circle. It's like everything always go back to their past. I mean, you've talked to some people, like, no matter how, what is going on in their life, eventually, somehow, things always revolve. In fact, and it's always revolve about one particular past or just couple of incidences that just always become everything in their life just revolves around that. And they are not able to move. It's like they are pulled back. Just when they think they are moving forward, you know, they just find themselves back. It's almost like their life is an auto repeat. All right? It's almost like they are, every relationship always ends the same way. You know, every converse, everything in their life, always, every project, they can always predict that this is going to end up that way. And after a while, their mind gets used to that. All right? And there are some people like that. Every conversation just reverts back to certain times in their life. There's the third category of people, their past is like a weight on them, right? They just feel limited. Now, they are moving forward, but they feel limited. They feel limited. It's almost like the past has put some arbitrary limitation on their lives, all right? Their world is so small. They feel that there are some things they can't do. They feel that there are some relationship they can do. They feel like they can't build. They feel like there are some, you know, places they can't go, things they can't do simply because they've had some negative experience. Even when those things are great for them, those things are wonderful. They're supposed to, you know, build relationship. They're not able to do that. So we need to deal with those things. Amen. So Apostle Paul says, forgetting those things which are behind. So there are three key things he said here, which number one is, I have not achieved it. All right? Can you repeat that? Can you say, I have not achieved it? That's because my better days are ahead of me. Amen. So, and he said, but in order to really achieve it, the first thing I must do is forget those things which are behind. I must break those things. I must break my connection with my past, my negative connection with my past. Must be broken. Or it must be broken. And some of us, it will take a while. It will take a process. It will take you deciding. And we're going to talk a little bit about that. Making a decision that I want to. I don't enjoy it anymore. I don't want it to be like that anymore. I'm making a decision that my past will no longer control my present and my future. You need to really realize that this is something I must do something about. Praise the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Are you getting this message? Are you getting blessed? Amen. So we must now look forward. So I'm going to try to read the same passage, Philippians chapter 3, verse 13. I'm going to read it in New International Version, which is probably what most of you read or use. Great version, by the way. All right. Philippians 3:13 says, brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead. Now, one of the reasons why many people are not able to move forward is because moving forward sometimes involves some stretching, some straining. You know, many people, you know, unfortunately, especially in our circle, many people think deliverance is a one-time thing. You know, many things people think, you know, just pray for me and, you know, and just, you know, let the anointing fall, just set me free and I move on. Yeah, deliverance from demons can happen. But you see, deliverance from habit and the past, it's a lot more than a one-time thing. It's not going to happen as a one-time thing. right? It's going to be because we are willing to make different decisions and choices, all right? And the process of moving forward from your past is, it involves straining, all right? Straining. The word straining, when I read this passage and I looked at the meaning of straining, straining is to become stretched, to experience pressure. See, the process of moving forward, embracing the future, embracing God's purpose and destiny for your life is going to involve some stretching. It's going to involve some pressure. Embracing the future will put some demand on you. And that's why sometimes people don't follow through. In fact, some people get delivered, they revert back to it. They come to a powerful service, they go to retreat, the Holy Spirit touches them, they feel a relief, but they are not able to embrace the pressure that is involved in moving forward. Sometimes the enemy of upgrade is fear of the future. Sometimes it is fascination with the past. Did you see how the children of Israel, when they faced pressure, somehow they now became fascinated with their past? And that's how the devil works. Now, the past that they didn't like, the past that they hated, the past that was not good for them, that past was the enemy's plot to thwart their destiny. You see, your challenge, the abuse you went through, the divorce you went through, the trauma you went through, whatever you went through in life, the chaotic childhood you went through, they were enemy's plot to really distort God's plan and purpose for your life. So now you realize it. But you must choose to move forward, to say, that is not going to control me. All right? You must choose that. But you know, when the pressure of moving forward comes, some people just revert back to their past as a coping mechanism. They get overwhelmed. It's almost like they get overwhelmed by the challenges of forward movement. You know, because forward movement involves overcoming some resistance. There's always a resistance to moving forward, right? Even Newton's law says that, right? In order for anything to move, you must overcome a force. Even your car to move needs an engine. The reason why you need an engine is because there's a force. So you have to overcome that force for movement to happen. Hallelujah. So some of those straining, some of those pressure can mean, you know, something like forgiveness is involved in the process. Some people just, the thought of the, you know, forgiveness can be a painful process. I hope you know that. And forgiveness is not an easy process. I mean, it's a painful process to have to let it go. You know, this person that is just, they loom large in your life. They've done hurtful things. You need to let them go. You need to forgive them. You need to pray for them. I've seen so many people. Wow, what is going on? So that's why some people, the process of forgiveness, they cry. It's painful. It's like you are being eaten up. It's like you're feeling, it's almost like just remembering and feeling bitter about that thing gives them some comfort, gives them something they can hold on. Now, actually moving forward and taking step becomes very painful. So they say, you know what? I'm not going to do this. And somehow they are attached back to their past. So something like that can be the challenge. So let's look at the children of Israel. Let's look in Numbers 13, for example. Numbers 13, the children of Israel were close to the promised land. And God asked them to send spies. Sent 12 spies, leaders, 12 leaders. This was supposed to be something that would encourage them, right? Send 12 leaders to the land. Let them go and survey the land. Let's, you know, this land, I mean, now we've been working for like maybe 39 years. We're very close. You know, let's send 12 people to go and survey the land and just tell us. And these 12 guys came back. Unfortunately, 10 of them had no faith. All right? They had no faith. They came back and they said, wow, the land is amazing. In fact, it's better than what you told us. It's flowing with milk and honey. I mean, the fruit there, wow. You know, everything there is amazing. But the people there, man, they are like giants. In fact, we feel like grasshoppers. I mean, notice that they are describing their feeling. They're not, I mean, they're human beings, they're not grasshoppers, right? But they were describing how they felt. You know, they are describing their perception of the task of conquering the land. Now, don't forget that God said, I've given you the land. You just need to go in there. You just need to go and fight. You're going to win. Victory is guaranteed, right? But they came back and said, you know, we don't think this is going to work. And the other two, Caleb and Joshua, said, no, what are you talking about? God said he's giving us the land. In fact, it is time. Let's go in and possess it. Let's move forward. And the other people said, no. And this argument went on and on. And unfortunately, bad news always sells faster, right? Have you turned on your TV to listen to the news lately, right? The first thing on the agenda is somebody shot someone, right? The next new agenda is there's a motor car crash and so many people died. The next thing on the agenda is, wow, Gaza is on fire. The fourth thing on the agenda is there's a bridge that fell. The fifth thing on the agenda is, after a while, you're like, is anything good happening in the world? You know why? Because bad news can sell. Because people, if you have a, assuming you have a, whatever, good news network. All right? That just say, we're going to just say good things that are happening in this country. All right? The first thing in the news, they show how a policeman helped a puppy and somebody that was falling down. The next thing is how a neighbor just helped another neighbor. The next thing is, you know what is going to happen? Nobody's going to watch that news. That news is going to go out of business. There's nothing shocking. There's no negative. Negative news sell. And that's what happened here. So look at what happened by Numbers 14 from verse 1. So all the children, all the congregation lifted up their voices and cried. They actually began to cry. And the people wept that night. I mean, this is about 2 million people now. I mean, just imagine they started to cry. And all the children of Israel complained against Moses and Aaron. Then they started to blame. Does that sound like you? Yes. They started to cry. They started to find somebody to blame, right? And they complained against Moses. And the whole congregation said to them, if only we had died in the land of Egypt. They start wishing that we had died in Egypt. Or if only we had died in the wilderness. Why has the Lord brought us to this land to fall by the sword? That our wives and children, you see how people use wives and children. When people start talking like that, it's an emotional blackmail, right? You don't even hate us. You hate our wives. You hate our children. Right, should become victims. Will it not be better for us to return to Egypt? Then they started saying, maybe it's better to go back to Egypt. So they said to one another,
let us select a leader
to return to Egypt. They say, you know what, let's vote out Moses. Just, you know, let's vote all these people out. Let's find another leader. Let's put together a committee. Let's put together a plan. Let's return back to Egypt and go back to Pharaoh and say, we have come back. We are ready to become slaves again. Does that make sense? You see, the enemy's plan, and I want you to listen to this very well, is to make the price of going forward to look like it's greater than the pain of your past. Did you see that? That's the enemy's goal. The price of moving forward, the enemy makes it so great that you feel like it is, maybe it's better to just wallow in my past, to just, you know, maybe makes it to look like it's greater, that it's impossible to overcome. I don't think I can ever get better. I don't think I can move past this. I don't think I can really forgive. I don't think I can change my habit. I don't think I can overcome this, you know, pornography. I don't think I can do this. I don't think so. Maybe let me just wallow in it and forget that things are ever going to change. Make some people even almost relish in their past or surrender to their past. Now, why some people, you can go back physically to your past, but you constantly do mind travel or emotional travel to your past. And that's a way of avoiding the work of moving to the future. And you have to ask yourself, are you ready for the future? Are you ready for God's purpose? Are you ready to stretch? Are you ready to let God stretch you? Because God's plan and purpose for you, let me tell you, is far greater, is far better. But you are going to be willing to let your past be your past. Praise the name of Jesus. You're going to be willing to move forward. Which leads me to another point. This thought makes people sometimes to develop a victim mindset. What is called a victim mindset? All right? Victimhood is a very real thing. You know, where people just decided, you know, that I am just a victim of my circumstance. That's it. You believe that those external factors, those things that have happened to you, they are the determinant of your future. That's how a victim thinks. It's a pattern of thinking and perception of yourself, right? As a victim of circumstances. Some people just think they are victim of circumstances. They just think those things, they are responsible for my happiness or lack of happiness. The reason why I will never be this, I will never do that, is because of so and so. Now, sometimes in a weird way, it is easier for people to just stay there, because that is a way to avoid taking responsibility. The opposite of victimhood is taking responsibility. Now, taking responsibility puts the power back in your hand. All right? You see, when you take responsibility because you decided, you're not denying the past. That's not the point, right? The past is the past. It's gone. There's nothing I can do about it. I can't go back and fix it. I can't go back and rewrite history. It's happened. It's painful. It's sad. But it's the past. Praise Jesus. It's the past. Oh yeah, I didn't go to school because, you know, I was a woman. My father said, you know, girls don't go to school. Therefore, I hate my father for it. Yeah, that could be that's real, but it's in the past. All right? But you can change that. You can rewrite history. You can cry about that. You can just say, you know what? I'm just going to remain a victim and just live in a place where I always just blame my father for my life, for my miserable life. Or I blame my mother, my ex. I blame, you know, the family I grew up from. I blame the fact that this and that on my misery, and there's nothing that can happen. I'm just going to accept it. It's sad, and I'm always bringing it up over and over again. And that's what you want to talk about. And there are some people that's what they want to talk about. Or you can say, you know what? The past is the past. I'm taking responsibility. I'm moving forward. All right? Taking responsibility means you recognize I have the power, hallelujah, to rewrite my future. I can't rewrite my history, but I can write my future by the grace of God. Praise the name of Jesus. I have the power to start making choices today. All right? Yeah, our marriage has been so bad the last 10 years. I can go and blame my wife, blame my husband, and go on and on and on. Or we can look at ourselves in the face and say, you know what? The past is the past. Both of us can say, you know what? We're going to make better choices. You know, your marriage was bad because you both made poor choices. All right? But we can now make better choices from today. And so that we can create a better future. That is very, very, that's the key. Some people can make that switch. And that's the problem. So what they do is just go back. They do every time they are faced with the choices to move forward, they travel back. Right? They make an emotional trip back to their past. And they cry. And they get angry. And they are mad. And they blame. And they do nothing. And next week, they do the same thing. Next month, the same thing. Next year, the same thing. I used to have a friend, I was younger, much younger. We were both in our late 20s or mid 20s. I'd recently moved to the United States. And, you know, we're very, very excited about life, about the future, about what we're going to do. And each time this guy will say, oh, if not for my father. And he said, my father didn't help me. He dropped out of school. He said, I dropped out of school because my father, he had money, very doing well. He was making good money, and he refused to pay for my tuition. And I dropped out. I said, really? You dropped out? And he would talk. I said, but you are 26 years old now. I mean, you can even be a father yourself. So at some point, you just have to forget about your father. But this guy cannot move on. Each time we talk, he would talk, ah, if not for my father, I will be doing better now. I won't be doing all this, you know, odd jobs. I'm doing odd jobs because of my father. He kept on. In the midst of that, the father died. We went to the burial. We did the burial. We moved on. Talked to the guy. He's still blaming his father. I said, the guy is gone. At some point, you got to really, I mean, it's sad. I wish he had done a better job. He could have done a better job. I mean, but we can say all this is not going to fix the future. You are still 27, 26 years old. I mean, you have your whole future. You can begin to rewrite the history now. I mean, your future now. You can't rewrite history, but you can fix your future. And that's how many people live their life. Just always moaning about the past, moaning about what they've lost, moaning about who has hurt them, moaning about their exes, mourning about their parents, mourning about where they grew up, mourning about people who hurt them. Mourning about the trauma. Are you going to just say, you know what? I'm tired of mourning. I'm ready to take responsibility. I'm ready to create the future that I want, that I desire. And I'm ready to partner with God. Hallelujah. Because God is a God of the future. Hallelujah. You see, God's direction is always forward. In fact, in Isaiah 43, verse 18, what does he say? Isaiah 43, 18 says, forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland. God is saying, forget the former thing. Forget. Don't dwell in the past. Because I, your God, I am doing a new thing. Hallelujah. Now it is springing up. I want you to perceive it. I want you to put up your perception. I want you to begin to perceive. I want you to begin to sense. You see, if you can perceive God, you're going to realize that God is about the future. God is not mourning about your past. God is not sitting down and just trying to put your past in your face and playing it back all the time. No, that is not God. Whatever is playing that in your mind, that's the devil. That's not God. You know, you're always playing it back. And each time you play it, you're angry. Each time you play it, you are just mad. You are a mess. Your mood changes. You don't feel like even doing anything. You are weakened. All your energy is just drained. That's not God. God is about the great future that is ahead of you. Don't let your past stop you from being the best person, the best friend, the best husband, the best wife, the best child of God, the best church member. Don't let your past prevent you from being the best that God has designed you to be. God is willing to walk with you to take you to that future. Praise the name of Jesus. I'm going to give us a few, as we wrap up, I'm going to give us a few steps. Few steps just to wrap up, more or less summarize what we've talked about in the next few minutes, and we're going to pray. Number one step is you have to let your past be past. There's no way to spin it. Your past must be your past. Hallelujah. Your past is history. And your destiny is greater than your history. Hallelujah. Number two, you have to remind yourself of the new birth. You have to live in the reality of the new birth. Many people are born again, but they forget that they are born again. When it comes to the challenges they are going through, they just see themselves as another human being. Now, if you're not born again, it's different. You need to be born again. But if you understand what it means to be born again, you will. It is powerful. It is the most radical change that can happen to a person. It is a supernatural change. It is an act of God. Being born again is not just just changing your ways, just start acting nice. No, being born again is God change your heart. God perform a surgical operation on your heart. He gave you a new heart. He gave you a new spirit. And he gave you a new destiny in Christ Jesus. That's what being born again is. It's supernatural. Now, But you see, everything God does requires faith to enjoy it. It's almost like the best analogy is Peter was walking on water. The disciples were on the boat. All of a sudden, you know, there was a storm. And they see Jesus coming. And Jesus was walking on water. And they say, "Is that a ghost? Is that that?" All of a sudden, they said, "No, it's not. It's Jesus." And Peter said, and Jesus said, "It's me." And Peter said, "Oh, if it's you, ask me to come." And Jesus said, "It's me." And all of a sudden, he had faith. I'm sure he wasn't thinking about it. No, he wasn't thinking. Peter is an impetuous man, right? It's me. And he's just jumped. And he's just walking. All of a sudden, he said, "How about if it's not him? And he's like, "Wow, I just believed him like that. What did I do?" All of a sudden, he started thinking, he's having all these things. Then he began to sink. And of course, he began to sink and he cried and Jesus lifted him up. You know, that's our experience. Peter is able to walk on water as long as he believed Jesus. The moment he stopped, he began to sink. That's our new birth. Our new birth becomes our experience when we believe it. And as long as we believe it. The moment we start seeing ourselves as ordinary, as like any other person, what happens? Our experience begins to be different. Begins to be ordinary. And that's why Colossians 3:10 says, "Put on your new nature." All right? "Put on your new nature and be renewed." Hallelujah. "As you learn to know your Creator and become like Him." You see, the more you stay in the Word, the more you stay in Christ, the more you are constantly aware of who you are. In fact, the scripture constantly, that's why the scripture says, James tells us, anyone that does and that reads the Word, you know, and forget it, or doesn't practice it rather, it's like a man that goes into the mirror, that looks at himself in a mirror. Did you hear that? It's like a man that looks at himself in a mirror and leaves and forget how he looks. And they ask you, "What's the shape of your nose?" You say, "My nose? I don't know." But it just came from the mirror. Now, when you look at the Word of God is not telling you about your past. The Word of God does not tell you about your natural self. The Word of God tells you about how God sees you. Hallelujah. And you better believe it. Better believe it, that you are a new man in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. So you have to constantly put on your new nature and be renewed as you learn to know your Creator and become like Him. So when you live in the reality of your new birth, it's easy to move forward. It's easy to do the next one. Forgive people who have wronged you. I talked about that last week. You know, forgiveness allows God to fight on your behalf. If your past is as a result of people have wronged you, people have done something for you, abused you, you have to just let God fight. You can't do the fighting. You can only hurt yourself in the process. You can't. You can't do the fighting. It allows God to fight on your behalf. Romans 12:19 says, "Never take revenge. Leave that to the righteous anger of God. For the scripture says, I will take revenge. I will pay them back, says the Lord." Let the Lord do the payback. You just move on. Number four, choose not to be a victim. Choose to be a victor. Choose to be a victor. Number five, take responsibility. And ask God for help. It's difficult to take responsibility. But ask God for help. Say, "I'm going to take responsibility about my choices, my actions, my decisions going forward. I'm not going to blame anybody. I'm not going to blame my past. I'm not going to blame anyone. I am going to say it is my choice. I am taking my responsibility for my future, and I'm moving on. Praise the name of Jesus. Number six, trust God. God has the power. You see, God is the one that says move forward. It's because sometimes people can't really trust God. The children of Israel can't trust God's promise. And that's why they say, I think we should go back to Egypt. This is too difficult. God already promised. You have to trust God's promise for your life. Hallelujah. And number seven, and my last point, because I want us to take 5 minutes to pray. Develop the faith to move forward. You have to constantly develop your faith. It takes faith. Moving forward takes faith. There's a faith for forward movement. Just like you develop fear to move backward, you can develop faith to move forward. You can take steps. Take steps. Begin to trust again. All right? Begin to trust again. Begin to take steps. Begin to embrace. Begin to move forward. Don't assume you're going to get hurt again. Don't assume, oh, if I join a church, someone is going to hurt me again. You know, if I start making friends, someone is going to betray me again. You know, all these things in your head that messes you up, prevent you from truly being what God wants you to be, from truly meeting God, the people that God wants you to meet. You're going to have to develop faith to move forward. Hallelujah. I want you to lift up your hands. Can we rise up, actually? I want you to say, God, I receive faith to move forward. I want you to just ask God to give you faith. Say, Lord, give me faith to move forward. I'm moving forward. I'm moving forward from my past. I'm getting rid of victim mentality. I'm not a victim, I'm a victor. Yes, in the mighty name of Jesus. I'm a victor in Christ Jesus. I'm moving forward. Hallelujah. Just pray that prayer. Just pray that prayer. Let it be so. Lord, He hears your prayer. He's here. I want you to be honest with Him. Tell Him, be specific. There are areas of your past still haunting you, still pulling you, still weighing you down. Say, Lord, I'm ready to move forward. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. I'm going to lead you in a confession, and I want you to repeat after me. I want you to say, in the name of Jesus, I choose to let go of the past. I look forward to my future. I am fully present at this moment. I can't change what has happened, but I can change how I move forward. In Christ Jesus, I am resilient. I am ready to move on. I am grateful for who I am today. I am more than what happened to me in the past. Today, I give myself patience and grace. I receive faith and I embrace my new beginnings. In Christ Jesus. Amen. Amen. Before I go, hallelujah. You can clap, we can clap, we can clap. Let's give Him praise. Let's give Him praise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I want us to still bow down our heads. If you're here, I don't want to give you an opportunity to know Jesus. You don't know Jesus personally. You've not known Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior. Yeah, you go to church, you know, or maybe somebody invited you. But you can't say, I have a personal relationship with Jesus. But you want to make that decision. Can you wave your right hand? Because I like to pray for you. If there's such a person here. If there's anyone online, please raise your hand also. You're watching us. You're participating. We have hundreds of people watching us online. I want to lead you in prayer. And I want you to say, Jesus, I thank you because you died for me. Today, I confess You are my Lord. You are my Savior. And I receive the forgiveness. Today, I become a new creation because of my faith in you. And I'm ready to embrace the future that you have for me. In Jesus' name, amen. If you did pray that prayer, especially if you're online, they will put a link in there that you are going to fill out to let us know so we can reach out to you. If you are here in person, you pray that prayer, or you still want to pray that prayer, after the service, there'll be an opportunity to be prayed for. We have our ministry team, our ministers, they will be here in front. Please, someone would like to pray for you. May God bless you in Jesus' name. Amen.